On the pages that you have the supplement to this parak in Aris HaTorah, page 320, I don't know if you could, so it's like the 6th, 7th line we're up to. Lo yuchlu laharbois ora chesed ahav v'yahachar. Rav Kook, Rav Kook is talking about that which worried him more than anything. People who were mukhsharim, many, many Jews are. Many people don't even realize that. People who have the kishrinus, the talent, and the kaychus, to be able to enter into the paradise, into the orchard of Pnimius HaTorah, everybody on their own level, and to be able through that not only to find a yeshua for themselves, but to be the makar, the source of a yeshua for Klal Yisrael, for countless Jews. And the unbelievable avla to themselves and to the entire world that takes place when this energy is held back, is held within them for whatever reasons. And nonetheless, Rav Kook, this is where we ended last week, Rav Kook says that since these are talented and creative people, they will make contributions. They have the ability to make great contributions to Klal Yisrael. But A, will they be entire? B, there's a storminess of the soul. There's a certain temperament that these people have that when it's not poured into Pnimius, and because it's not being poured into Pnimius, they're like a lion in a cage. They can also be very, very destructive people. So while being creative, industrious, and very capable people, because of these kaiches that are imprisoned, they can destroy more with their anger. And lo yodu derech shalom, he's describing the consequences of ignoring this part of Torah. Lo yodu derech shalom. So on page 320, 6 lines down. And they cannot increase the light of chesed, of kindness, of ahava, and achva, v'imze, lahabas hakedusha v'hagvura ba'olam, and with that to increase the kedusha and the gevura and strength of holiness in the world, v'yaisam koitzvim umaktzifim behirus sidrei chayim. Because they're angry, and they have because of what's locked up inside of them, and this feeling of being empty and unfulfilled, they are very likely to destroy the sidrei chaim, the normal storm of life. Shekiilu habriyos kulam lam oivim, and with these people, it seems as if all human beings are their enemies. All human beings are their enemies. Mitar shanoshim keilehem gedolei kishrin, rabe paolim, since these people have great talent and are able to get tremendous amount done. Afa pishlo yetsi lepoil kivich koicham klal. Even though they have not been able to bring out Lamaisa according to their kaiches, Mikomakom kama she'ovdu v'lomdu osu chayal gadol. As much as they did learn, and whatever avoda they did do, osu chayal gadol, they accomplished a great deal. B'halochas u'pilpulam ma'isim, remember, this is what Rav Kook was talking about, how since the establishment of Yiddishkeit, the establishment of Yiddishkeit to a large extent, and for the most part, does not allow for those individuals who have this kishrinus and kaiches to, from their early years, to be involved in pnimius. They put all of their energy, I shouldn't say all, but part of their energy is put into learning the halachas and the populum maisim. So vadai hinam lanes, there's no question that these are people who are going to be, who are going to be brilliant and are going to be able to accomplish a great deal in learning. Beregesh dasis pshuta v'hamaynis hinam mefuarim v'oimek nizgav v'hislavus emes. These people have naturally a tremendous, tremendous feeling for the dasius pshuta means for simple frumkeit and yirashamayim and ahavas Hashem and nemefuam ba'omek nizgav islavus emes, and they're naturally inclined to tremendous depth and islavus of truth. The Kishon Amusa Pnim Begam Ken Bekirbam Otzum Vagodol, and there's also strong feeling inside for doing what's right. Al Kain Him Achriim Harbi B'Deyaseim B'Hagishaseim Is Klolas Uma. Therefore, these are people who have the ability to have tremendous influence and have influenced the opinions and the emotions of our people. There's so many great writers and Jewish writers and Jewish artists who came talking about that the late 19th century and the early 20th century, great writers, great poets and artists who came from homes that were from homes and went against Yiddishkeit at that time and couldn't bear the feeling of being constrained by the day-to-day learning of the yeshiva. And these people had a tremendous influence over Am Yisrael and in many ways over the world. But with all of the good that comes from even using the lower aspect of their kishrinus, kama hefsid megiim hashpa'osa, how much is lost from their hashpa? Kama bilbul das v'cheshkas einayim mizgalgal mizeh, and how much confusion and darkness of the eyes has come as a result of this. And how these people have brought such a terrible loss of achva, of brotherhood and shalom and peace. How much this has caused pirudim. Rav Kook lived at that time, it was very, very, very clear. Because people were much more idealistic, so these people were filled with idealism. Now these people become much more involved in business things, and it's not the way that it was 100 years ago, where there was still a very strong feeling of idealism. So these talented people threw all of their kaiches into communism and secular Zionism, and all, they threw their kaiches into literature, into art, into music. Now people try to just throw themselves into bank accounts and stuff like that. But when there was such an idealism, when there was such a powerful idealism, so Rav Kook says, and he lived at that time, he said that it caused, these people were the cause of such pirudim, such divisiveness, such infighting. The pirudim, they fought against the Rabbanim, they fought against the establishment, they were trying to destroy everything that was holy. To a large extent, most of these people to destroy everything. Vispalgos, the karoyim, she'en mizachim, all kinds of rips and breaks that were not able to be sewn and fixed. Mizeli yirida amuka, which brought to a very, very deep yirida. Ulhisrachavus ha'aziva shel ha'tereh v'hamitzvus, and led to more and more abandonment of tereh v'hamitzvus, because these people were very influential. They had many, many, many chassidim. He had a person like Achad Ha'am, who was an Iblis Shebeluyim in the yeshivas. At that time was the Shem Dov in all of Europe. His name was Osher Ginsburg. And to think of what a person like that could have brought into Klal Yisrael, instead what he caused, such a churban, and he caused, brought so many people to, away from Yiddishkeit. And many, many people like him, Brenner and Bialik. Bialik had better intentions, but these were, Chernyakhovsky was, well, these, I'm giving some examples of famous writers that lived at that time, but there were others, politicians and teachers and professors, people who could have been writers and teachers and professors, but would have been filled with, would have had a platform within themselves to fill their hungry neshamas with Pnimius HaTorah, where all of their koiches, their raging and stormy koiches would have had expression, would have been able to find expression in Pnimius HaTorah. And instead, they were angry like animals, angry people, involved in all kinds of hashchazes and terrible things. It was very, very strong, particularly that time, at that time when Rav Kook lived, which was again once the Haskalah started, and the light of the Baal Shem Tov and the light of the Vilna Gaon came to the world, beginning from that time of Tafresh, where, as I said, the wellsprings of higher wisdom are going to open. So from that time of the Industrial Revolution, it really picked up speed. And there's a tremendous bikush in the world for Pnimius. The Zohar predicted, the Zohar said that at that time, there's going to be revealed tremendous, tremendous light in the world. And it was there, it was available. But as we've learned for years and years, that if it's not taken in Kedusha, it's taken in other things. And because the official establishment of the traditional Jewish world at that time in Europe did not allow for this type of expression with Pnimius. So, and even within Chassidus, by the time it came to Rav Kook, Rav Kook wrote about Chassidus. Rav Kook had tremendous love for Chassidim and for Chassidus, in particular Chabad and Breslov. He himself had his Shiroshim were in Chabad on one side of the family, and he we know from when he was a rav in Russia, that in his town was mainly consisted of Chabad Chassidim. And that Rav Kook, it's brought down in the biographies that Rav Kook used to go and give drushes al Pider Chabad for 3 or 4 hours in the ways of the Chabad Tzaddikim. He used to give drushes to the Chassidim there. And he had tremendous, tremendous connection to Chassidus. And his writings are deeply influenced by Chassidus. Nevertheless, he felt that the wellsprings of Chassidus, and of course he was right, the wellsprings of Chassidus to a large extent had dried up. And we're seeing that in our times, and there are always pockets of resurgence, but to a large extent it's come down to an inning of menhagim and Litvish people with long payas and coats, and later Zmani Tvila, and maybe better kugel, more geschmack kugel. As far as the fire of Pnimius, Chassidus, Rav Kook was complaining about what happened to Chassidus. He said it doesn't have any more the tzura of what was, and what the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and Pshischa and Kotzkin, and what they... And to this day, there are efforts that are being made here and there in different places and to try to bring that up, to bring that out again. But in Rav Kook's time, there was an unbelievable dryness. Then after World War I, when the communities and a lot of the chatzeris of the Chassidim were altogether broken and scattered, and the politics with the Mizrahi and the Aguda and the Zionists and the Bundists, I mean, what was going on in those days? Someone once told me, I remember there was an old man that I used to learn with many years ago. So he was in that time. He said, you know, you sit on a train, and they'd be on the same train, there'd be a Chassidish Yid, and there'd be a Zionist, and there'd be a Yiddishist, you know, and a Mizrachist, and a Gudist. He said, what was going on? The screaming and the fighting, and the, He said it was so crazy. Everybody was, but there was an idealism. There was an idealism. There was a tshuka for something big, for something great. There are still many Jews that have that, but the biggest tshuka over the past 70, 80 years has been for the self, for taivus and for ilum hazeh. Even those people that were the big communists and all of these bundes and communists, they were people with big chaloimis and big sheifas to help other people, to help Jews. They were on fire to help Jews. They wanted to help Klal Yisrael. They were mois and nefesh in their own way to help Jews. That fire didn't find a kosher place to go into, or didn't have enough kosher places to pour into, and it was repressed, and those suffocating geniuses and those suffocating would-be tzaddikim, would-be mashpiyim, would-be rebbes and rosh yeshivas, they brought tremendous, tremendous gifts of literature and art and music and other things they brought into the world, into Klal Yisrael. But it was at the same time and at the expense of Kedushas Yisrael and machloikas and fighting and so on. And Yisrael Yerida Amuka L'Srachbus Haziv Shal Torah Mitzvus Shal Akvira. This American Jewry is the result of all of that. Kol Akvira V'Habegida Prikas Ol V'Zizul Hayrim Amayrim, the throwing away of Yiddishkeit and the zilzal of parents and teachers, turning against parents and teachers. V'chol ha-toldes ha-rosh in the groves iman, all the terrible things that came as a result of this. V'chol ze loy efshu she-yisukan, Rav Kook says, none of this can be fixed. Kim ayidei ma she-nitan v'archova mokam le-balikishman eila, unless these balikishman, the new balikishman that are coming up, unless these balei regesh Kedusha Pnimis, these who are filled deep inside of themselves, deep inside with emotions of holiness. Unefashayis orgais l'raymimayis madregis akaydes, souls that are longing and yearning for the exaltedness of madregis of Kedusha, sheyuchlu laharchives kishrenim, that they should be given the opportunity, laharchives kishrenim, to expand and to grow into their kishrenim, to use their kishrenim. Apimidosam, according to their, each one according to his midas. V'yilamdu b'harchava mimokim shlivam chavis, that they should be allowed to learn b'harchava with expansiveness and with simcha. In those areas of Torah that their heart desires, instead of being told you can only learn this and not allowed to learn that, they should be able to learn b'harchava mimokim shlivam chavis. B'harchava mimokim shlivam chavis. Of course, he says, Al pi hadrocha misuna umakefa shel ayin sofia, with the careful supervision of great people who are patient and who have the experience to be able to help these people, to be madrich them, and to give them guidance, instead of just saying, no, this is not for you, you can't do this. Hayodah says, Erkam shel eila ha'alulun l'gedoylois, by those experienced people who understand the erech, the value of Jews who were cut out for greatness, who have the ability to become great people, who understand. V'yudas kamehem tzvichem choifesh v'archova cherusis, and these experienced older people know and they understand how much these talented people, the talented young people, need to have chayfish, freedom of expression. V'harchov v'cherusis, and to expand in freedom. Boifin ze yiru v'yigalu l'faneinu b'meshach zman kotzer. Rav Kook promises that if we would begin to do this, it would be revealed, we will see, and it will be revealed, the Meshach Zman Kotzer, in a short time. He says it doesn't take long. Kahal Kodesh, V'choshuv, a community that is holy and important, Shal Chachmei Emes Kedoshim Taharim, of Chachmei Emes, I don't have to translate this, Kedoshim Taharim, Miyushovim, not wild people, not angry people, not dangerous and destructive people. Miyushovim b'daitam with Yishuv Hadas. Umishuchlolim developed. Mishuchlolim and refined. Mileim chochma filled with wisdom. Anova humility. Kedusha v'derech eretz. Unlike so many of these chevra that are not allowed this expression. Mileim chochma anova kedusha v'derech eretz. Shetia tif'artam tif'eris emes, and their glory will be the glory of truth. Yerosim will be Yeras Ramimus. Talk about that a little bit more on Shabbos in Mitzvah in the afternoon. The Kedusha Pnimis Mutelus al Habriyas, and their inner Kedusha will take hold of the nation, of our people. Will be a tremendous influence over our people. And they will have the ability to bring around Am Yisrael from guilt to innocence, from Kav Chayva to Kav Schus. I'm going to mention the name of one person. If you want to look into him and to study a little bit his life, I think I mentioned him last year. But some of you might be familiar with one of the great, great tzaddikim of Polish Jewry before the war was Reb Hillel Zeitlin. And the story of Reb Hillel Zeitlin is this story exactly. He was a tremendous, tremendous admirer, and he considered himself a Talmud of Rav Kook from afar. He was killed. Hillel was killed in the Holocaust. Hillel Zeitlin, without going into the Protim of Hillel Zeitlin, was the son of a very miyuchasdik family in Chabad, was a person at a young age who was a baki in Shas and Poskim, and from the time that he was a teenager, was steeped in Sifrei Kabbalah. He was a genius of geniuses and was pulled in a million directions, and for a time he went off. He became also with that whole chevra of writers and the Yiddish system that were there at that time in Warsaw. He became very, very involved, and it's not clear exactly from the writings there's not that much written about him. There was one wonderful biography that actually one of the fellows from the neighborhood lent to me, and written by a big Talmud Chacham, but from right after the Holocaust, about Reb Hillel Zeitlin, and then Reb Hillel Zeitlin came back very, very, very strong, and he was killed by Kiddush Hashem, a Talmud film. It was a big tzaddik, but this was an example of a person that Rav Kook is describing. From the biggest balikishun, and even though he was from Chabad, and the Chabad certainly the learning of Pnimis and Chassidus was not a problem at all; it was encouraged. Nevertheless, Jewish society at that time just wasn't ready for a person like him, and he found that he had in certain ways more in common with the poets and the writers, that he was able to talk to them, And the institutionalized firm world at that time didn't have an appreciation for who he was, and he went through a period of time where there was a shvir sakelim. It's a big shvir sakelim. I mean, emotionally, and it's a big shvir sakelim. He was an unbelievably talented writer in Hebrew and in Yiddish. At the end of his life, he became very deeply connected to Breslov Chassidus, and he wrote an entire Kuntras that I have at home on Breslov. Brilliant and poetic and just unbelievable. There were people like this dragging around the streets of Warsaw. And you have people, maybe not to such a degree, they're walking around Yerushalayim. Some of them are like mumbling to themselves with tchina dripping out of their mouths onto their suits that haven't been changed in 40 years. Tzibrochen Kalim, broken Kalim, or angry and broken Kalim. And this is what this Rav Kook said, it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. And there could be a tremendous change. But there's, till this day, any mention of any hisoros of ruchnius in a pure way, any hisoros of ruchnius is met with tremendous hisnagdus. I'm not talking about by non-religious Jews. It's met by the establishment, members of the establishment with hisnagdus, and this has been the story. It wasn't just by Rav Kook's time. Dalad. Maimed he'emuna mole tohu vavohu. The state of emuna, of faith, in our times, is filled with tohu vavohu. Tohu vavohu. Kloi uvdu shadmoiseha rabbis b'shanan. Because the fields have not been plowed and worked for many years. The fields of faith have been neglected for many, many years. Ubiichud huflu makeseh b'doireis ha'achroinim. And emuna has suffered terribly, particularly in these last generations. Asher b'nei ha'tirudim v'hagolius. That because of the tirudim, because of all the upheaval and the golius and the tsaris, hatsaris v'ha'okai shokneses Yisrael, all the terrible tsaris that Klai Yisrael is going through. Niskavets halev, the heart has shrunk. The heart of Am Yisrael has shriveled. Niskavets halev umoira pnimi, and in a deep inner fear, Olav the Kirbo has risen within. Ibnei tokfa shel hamachshava, a fear to think deeply. You know, when a person goes through suffering, some people, when they go through suffering, that brings them into a deeper place within themselves to try to come to a deeper place. But for many people, when they go through suffering, have gone through suffering, the only way that they can cope with the misery of their lives is by not thinking, is by not going into a deep place, by just not thinking. There's a natural method of self-preservation that people have. You have a lot of people that say that, I've seen this, I was just talking to somebody actually this week about a situation where there was a young man that when he was a child, he was sexually abused, Hashem Yirachem, and he didn't remember. He didn't think about it. He was around 5 or 6 years old when this was going on. It went on for a few months, it appears, with some family member. And he didn't know about it. He was in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael last year. And he was under the hashpah of a very chashuv person that was learning with him and working with him. And apparently what happened as a result of his entering into a deeper part of himself is that he found in that deeper part, he not only did he find, you know, the Svasamis and Tanya and other things, all the good things, all the holy things, but he also found that horrible, horrible box that was locked with that memory of what he went through when he was a child. And it's amazing how the mind works. That for, well, no, I don't know, 16, no, not that much, for 13, 12, 13 years, whatever, that time, that it just was, his mind just turned away from that memory, just shut it down, not to think about it. And of course, he's been living with all different types of turmoil through his years of being a teenager, different from the regular turmoil that goes with being a teenager. And there were certain simanim that were beginning to surface, And this is what it's about now, and he's going to have a lot of help. Bez Hashem. But, and for him to be able to get married, it's going to be already a whole avoida for such a person to get married. And as a people, Rav Kook says, there's such a thing where we become afraid to think. We become afraid to think deeply. Sometimes if you think too much, it hurts. You have people that are unhappy marriages. But they can go on like that, you know. You go on. They go on. They can go on like that for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. They can like that. And the way that they go on is by not thinking too much, because thinking too much causes pain. Yosef das, Yosef mach oif. So they survive the marriage by, they survive the marriage by floating on the surface. And when you float on the surface, so you don't think about how much my life has not added up to what I was hoping it would, and how my relationships have not been the way that I was dreaming of, and with my wife, or my husband, and the children, and my Yiddishkeit, and you float. And when you're floating, you don't come to a place that's called oimek mimamakim, not the mamakim of good, and not the oimek adin. One doesn't come to the place of mamakim. And you can go through 50, 60, 70 Shani Yom Kippurs, and it's always just floating. And even though, thank God, the younger generation has not experienced what our parents and grandparents experienced, but in different ways, there's a certain fear that many people have of thinking deeply. Alkein baruchu hamachnes kulam. Therefore, what happens? All of the camps of the Jewish people, they just run away. In other words, you don't want to think too deeply because it hurts. So the teretz is, the eitzah is, that you run away. And where do you go? There are all different places, so there are a lot of choices. But the main thing is rakal ha'avoida ha'bilti mesukenes. Avoida ha'bilti mesukenes. You want just to be safe. You just want to be safe. And even within frumkeit, meaning within Torah mitzvahs, there are safe places. There are safe places which will allow you to be 100% a Shulchan Aruch Jew, which is a great thing, and will even allow you to be a Talmud Chacham, an accomplished Talmud Chacham. But it's not a dangerous place. There's a different part of the brain that figures out a Taisvus and that figures out your own Neshama. It's a different part of the brain. It's not the same part of the brain. To figure out a Taisvus, to figure out yourself, it's a different part of the brain. I'm sure all of you, like myself, have met people who are great at figuring out Taisvus, but they never, ever, ever figure themselves out. They don't have an inkling of an idea of themselves, and they may love the people that they meet. The scary thing is that some of these people are supposed to be teachers, mashpiyim, and so on. Just because somebody is brilliant in figuring out a Taisvus doesn't mean he has any way to figure out himself. I'm available to figure out other people. So, there are safe places to run to. The Ikur is it should be safe. Rakel ha'avayda ha'bilti mesukenes. A davening, there's a safe way to daven. You know, there's a safe way to daven. The safe way to daven is, you know, to say the words, and you could even be more conscientious and write like translations or get a siddur that has in it on every word. They have now all these different things. It's not anymore on the it's on the word, and you can still be safe over there. There are all kinds of safe places to go to in Yiddishkeit. But the ikur is for the person to run away and not to go into a place of pnimis. The fact that you can translate every word in the siddur doesn't make you into an ish pnimi. It just makes you into a nice, serious, conscientious Jew. But it doesn't make you into an ish pnimi. So you know what the words mean. So that, so what? I mean, it's, our grandparents didn't know what the words mean, and they were much more religious than us. They were much more religious than us, and they didn't know what they were talking about. They knew who they were talking to. But, and they knew who was talking, but they didn't know what they were saying. And their siddurim were crinkled from tears, and their tilms were crinkled from tears. Now siddurim are nice. They come out every year, a new edition of the latest commentaries and translations. And you can get leather bound and all kinds of nice things. The pages are white and healthy. Our tilms, our siddurim are doing fine. Because you could also hide in translations and perushim and pshatloch. You could hide in that too. The main thing is to stay away from pnimius, to stay away from inside. Because thinking brings pain, and it's hard. And especially in our generation, pain is a very, very, very bad word. Pain, nobody wants any pain. Not that anybody's seeking to have chas shalom pain, it's not that it's fun. But this generation in particular is not used to having any pain or any discomfort or difficulties. If you don't believe me, just sit in the house when it's like 78 degrees and watch the teenagers come in. And if the parents don't have the air conditioning going at 68, watch the expression on the faces of the kids when they come in. Oh, what are you doing over here? How do you live like this over here? Just like, it's only 76 out, 77. We'll see. The Shabbos is supposed to be 78, 80. The air conditioners are going to be blasting. Nobody should be in the slightest bit uncomfortable, even for a second, to be uncomfortable. So the generation is very intolerant of any difficulties and pain. It's pain. To be hot is not in pain. Any difficulties. It's totally, totally intolerant of suffering and pain. And that's on a physical level. The idea of going for a blood test, you know, for somebody to give a ping, is enough to send somebody to the therapist. Forget about Chalila, anything more than that. But that's physical. But then we're talking about emotional. Emotional. So the generation is very, very, very weak. Very fragile. And everybody knows that. And therefore, everybody wants to stay away from pain. They want to stay away from physical pain. They want to stay away from emotional pain. Kahelis is not going to be a bestseller. You understand that. It's not going to be on the best-selling list. When I was growing up, there was a certain author that I was... I don't like to use the word obsessed, because they use the word obsessed now too liberally, but I definitely was obsessed with him. When I was growing up, there was a writer. It's not evil, you know, to say on Erev Shabbos, Erev Rosh Hashanah, to say his name, but there was a writer, I don't know if you ever heard of Thomas Hardy. So I was mishigah with his everything that he wrote. I read everything that he wrote. I didn't just read it once. I read it a few times, and I had all kinds of pshatim and drashas on his writings and Thomas Hardy. It's the most depressing, the most depressed person in modern history. Depressing. And I had this inyan like to rub that place inside. To the point of to get to that place of feelings, to get to a place of emotions. You see with the kids, or they, in the 60s and the 70s, there was a certain kind of music. I don't know what the music is now. I hear it pounding on the street when, you know, you pull up and there's someone next to you in the car. I don't know. And the Jewish is the same. So they just put a pasuk in, it was the same thing. So But the music when we were growing up, like the music was very, very sweet. There was not all, but there was very, very sweet and beautiful music. Also very depressing. Very depressing. It was all about like love, things that didn't work out, you know, disappointments. It was all about yeyush and sadness. I mean, the music was, even the the melodies were very, very, very sad. There was a certain atzus. But there was an Indian at that time to be mashkia oneself in misery. There was such an Indian. But that's not around anymore, to a large extent. Misery is for losers. Misery is for losers. The main thing now is to have a good beat. To have a good beat. To make noise, to have a beat. And everything is just floating on that going in. Because going in hurts. And going in means a certain kind of, same thing with the poetry. Try to imagine now, maybe there is such a thing because they try to have, because the schools always like to, certain schools, they like to show that they have certain things, but BEMS, you don't have like poetry clubs in a boys' yeshiva, you know what I'm saying? What's the poetry in a boys' yeshiva? Like a friend of mine wrote in my yearbook when I was a little kid, had these, what do you say? Roses are red, violets are black, you look good with a knife in your back. That's the boys' poetry. That's the extent of poetry by the guys, you know. That was it. But you know something? And it wasn't isolated. We used to talk about poetry. I mean, all kidding aside, we used to talk about poetry. And it meant a great deal to us. It wasn't not in Kedusha. We were reading the poems of Rabbi Yehuda Levi, you understand? But there was an Indian in that... There's something there of gaguim. There was a certain there were gaguim for something. There was a longing. There was unfulfilled hopes and longings that you know, we just didn't see when we were learning Gemara. We didn't see that. We didn't see it when we were learning Gemara. We didn't see it when we were learning Chumash Rashi. And those who were inclined towards that threw themselves into these depressing. Secular resources of Gaguan. And then everybody and every 13, 14 year old is walking down the streets waiting to meet his true love. So much energy, so many koiches that Jews have.
Rebbe, just a name, Reach Over Troubled Waters. Ring your bell?
I'd be embarrassed to quote the whole thing for you. I know it by heart, but I'm not going to start doing that. Okay, but these were songs that those two Jews in particular, who had very strong nitiyos to ruchnius. There was a time that both of them experimented with mitzvahs, satori mitzvahs. And by the way, if it would have been handled correctly, and if instead of going to a certain yeshiva when he was in Eretz Yisrael, if he would have gone with others, if he would have been with Rav Kook, it would have been different. No, that wouldn't have done it either. I'm sorry, that wouldn't have done it. And that's not the place he went to. But he went to the other place at that time. There were two Balchuv yeshivas, and he went to try. No, because he was looking for pnimas. And when he came to those places, that was not something that they were doing. Also, to put your finger in the Gemara, we'll learn some Musa. Also, such kaiches of creativity. Of emotions, such unbelievable emotions. Lost, found. Into where? Into all kinds of troubled waters. That's where it fell into. All kinds of troubled waters. What?
It's not even that song. It's one of those songs.
I don't want to start going over all the songs. forgive me. I don't go over those songs. We know it's all the same thing. It's all the same thing. And even when they had. Even when there was a little bit of an upbeat song, it always had the teichen, the lyrics always had something sad and miserable in it. But they were deep, and they were moving for us as kids, because we didn't know anywhere else where to get that from. We didn't see that in Yiddishkeit. We just didn't see it in Yiddishkeit. It's there. That's what Kluge is talking about. It's there. Is it there? A billion, trillion, infinite times more. But no one told us. It was kept from us. Not intentionally, just that was the story that we had. It was just, I don't know, whatever it was. It was so we listened to the songs and to them in particular, to Simon and Garfunkel in particular, but there were others. We listened to the music and we said, wow, this is reaching a place inside of me, a place of gaguim, of longing inside of me that I don't see this in anything that they're telling me in school. And then you get older and you start to read Emily Dickinson and Browning, and you start to read Thoreau, and you start to go and you see. And when we wanted, as from kids, we wanted to keep Torah mitzvahs. And we kept Torah mitzvahs, but we kept it listlessly and lifelessly, and we were asking somebody, you know, is this all there is? And the answer was, yeah, that's what it is. Just keep your finger, put your finger in the Gemara, and just keep on doing that, and eventually, you know, God will talk to you. Never happened. And we weren't bad kids. We kept our fingers in the Gemara. Occasionally we'd doze off. But we were learning Gemara. Most of my friends, we took it seriously. We cared about it. And we weren't bad kids. We didn't go away from the curriculum. We were trying to stay with for the most part. I mean, there were kids that went off. But for the most part, we were obedient. But we were empty. And we were trying to find ways to fill the emptiness. A couple of my friends were doing that with drugs and got involved in like following the Grateful Dead around America and stuff like that. And then there were others of us that tried to find it in Ruchnius. And those of us that did are grateful to those individuals who introduced us to it. Who showed us that you don't need those songs to get to that place. And not only that, but you can get to a much, much deeper place, a place that's true, a place that's real, a place of who you really are. Not the disillusions of depressed and demented people. But the panemius of a Jew to get to. And it doesn't take long. This is what's most frustrating. I believe Be'emunah Shleima is this, that there could be, within 6 months to a year, a complete and total overhaul of all of Yiddishkeit in America. And there's just so. But it's just not allowed. It could be a complete and total overhaul. If a lot of the old guard would just be given free vacations to Miami, and just to be taken care of nice, and to open up a couple hundred bati midrashim in different places of the world, and to let them enjoy themselves and learn and so on, and to be there, and to give some of the young people of the dor an opportunity, a chance, under the guidance of tzaddikim, like Rav Kook is saying, everything, the whole tzur of Klai Yisrael will be within 6 months totally different. 6 months is much, it's even shorter than that. It would be totally different. And you know that if I say this to people who are part of that establishment, you know what that engenders. I don't have to tell you. Loathing and disgust and what you're talking about and vicious and that. Because v'chul v'chul. But that's exactly what Rav Kook is talking about. And that's what he's crying about all the time. You see what he's... The main thing is to run to places that are not dangerous. Safe places, but they don't help much. They don't change things much. Because these are places that are missing a soul, but don't have a neshama. Misulekis minishmasa. Dead and dry. Very beautiful, but dead and dry. Kol chach mi Yisrael pon rakel hadiyu kamaisi. And what's happened, he said, over the past few generations, is that, he says, kol, but almost all of the chach mi Yisrael, almost all the Talmid Chacham, have turned their attention completely just to Diyukamaisi, meaning the halacha side, the mathematical side of Yiddishkeit. the diuk hamaisa and being more and more medactic in halacha, which Rav Kook was certainly not against keeping shulchan aruch. Vaseichel begodlei ramusay loymatzo mikol roei hauma inyan, and the mind with all of his greatness and exaltedness did not lamatzo mikol roei hauma. He says all of the shepherds of our nation didn't find an inyan kiim psakim, only in piske halachas. Or drashas on pilpulim. The great minds, the great and exalted minds of the generation, only found themselves in these safe havens of halacha, pilpulim, and drashas, and dikdukim, and chumris, and psakim, and so on. But v'han neshama begoivha ha'elyain, but the soul, with the soul, the goyv ha'elyon, in its highest heights, the soul, the goyv ha'elyon, yeshevas hi v'shaimema, sits in complete desolation. Yeshevas hi v'shaimema. The soul is sitting in complete desolation, totally ignored. The soul is totally, totally ignored. Look, the Indian of the Shaifer, the Indian of the Shaifer, is to wake us up. The meaning of the Shofar, what the Tanya writes about a lot, and look at the Torah and all the Tzaddikim, and the Rambam uncharacteristically goes away from that world of Psak to talk about the Shofar as being a way to wake ourselves up. To wake ourselves up. And for many people, waking up hurts. Waking up hurts. Depressed people sleep a lot. There are no people on earth that sleep as much as Americans, from what I've been told. Depressed people sleep a lot. When you feel that your life is meaningful and you have a lot to do, you want to get up. You want to get up. Depressed people sleep a lot. Because being awake hurts, because there's always that possibility of thinking. When you're sleeping, you're totally numb. You're almost not in the world, and being not in the world for that person is relief. They wouldn't commit suicide because it's against halacha and it would get everybody upset. But there are many, 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 many ways of killing oneself, and sleeping is the most enjoyable. And the shofar is that sound that says, stop sleeping. There comes a time to wake up, and with that waking up, there's pain. But it's amos. You know, there was a film that was made years ago. I remember that they showed it in Shiva where I was teaching. And I was very affected by it. I don't remember the name. But the film was based upon a true story. Now, whenever they say that, it's hard to know exactly what was the... But based upon a true story. But there were people who were very, very emotionally disturbed. And there was an experiment that was undertaken in a certain place. And there's a certain drug that they were working on and at that time. And they were... What's it called? Awakening. And they were able to bring these people out of their insanity. It was an experimental drug at the time, and these people were beginning to discover the world and each other and themselves, and it was unbelievable. But what happened was is that they realized that it was not permanent. And the people themselves were slipping back into the insanity. And it's a very, very, very disturbing story. Again, I don't know how much of it is true, and I never read anything about it. I just remember that film. So there's always that question of... So then there were all these debates that was the reason why that person showed it to the students in the school to talk about this. Because there's always... It's always the hakira. Is it better just to stay like that? Leave them alone. What would have been better? Leave them alone. He was happy. Before they became normal, they were happy. They had their emotional, but they were happy. They were, you know, laughing and happy and whatever, playing. I mean, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds playing and happy. And then you brought them into the parasha of relationships, and then disappointment, and this one was breaking up with that one because they were getting together. In this hospital, they were meeting each other because they were forming relationships with each other, which they never could in the past, and they were like falling in love, and all different kinds of things were going on all over the place. And then it began to like disappear. And then the end of the movie is they're all like retarded again. They like that, yeah. They're like that again, like finished. So then there was a whole debate with the kids. So what's the tachlis? Was it kedai? Was that kedai? Was that kedai? So. Ke'atu melech kalchai v'kayim. V'dvaracham al-kenu emes v'kayim la'ad. It's kedai for one moment of truth. The Baal Shem Tov said, to be in the world for 120 years. For one true moment, it's kedai. Because there's no alternative to live a life that's not real, to live a life of shekel. It's not an alternative. It's not a choice. It's not on the menu of the Jewish people. In the Welt, it's not on our menu. It's not a shiloh. Dvarachem alkeinu emes. That's what Rosh Hashanah is. To wake up. Does it hurt? Oh, that hurts. Are there things that you'd rather not work out and work into? That's human nature. But it's kedai. Rosh Hashanah says it's kedai. Zayon tchilas ma'asecha. So we should be zayicha mitzvah Hashem. To come to a place of truth in ourselves and to be zayicha. There should be a gilui of nishmas Yisrael and the neshama of all neshamas, Mashiach Tzakeinu, with the gula shavamitis, maybe I may know. Amen.